I'm going to have Beatrice to share some things that have been happening with YouTube and the things that have been happening, and so that we'd be encouraged by these things. But you go right ahead.
Praise the Lord. The YouTube has really picked up a lot. There are so many people who are viewing the things that are being posted there, especially praying on the the prayer table, and even the ladies gathering to pray. Many people are viewing. There was one where there were over 2,000 people who viewed, and many are just rising every day, 1,500 viewers, 1,400 viewers. So it's really touching many people out there. And not only that, Christian has gone ahead to post there that if anybody needs any prayer, should present their prayer requests. And I've been responding to, I want to say over 20 people have posted in prayer requests, and I've just responded to each one of them. And so it's really many people are seeing that there is something going on here, and we're not showing for people to see what's going on here. We want people to experience the power of God. And the prayer that we're offering now, I'm trying to find a way of printing them so that we can lay them on the table as well. But that not being the case, I remember Pastor put something that prayers for those who are presenting online. We are putting it there. We're praying for all those needs. So just share the word, spread the word, share the YouTube videos, the shorts, everything that is there, share it with people out there so that they know that there are people who have a heart to pray. There are people who have a heart to support the things of God in every possible way. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. You know, and what I wanted you to hear out of that is that, first of all, just a good report. But secondly, that you can see what God is doing. God is calling us to be a praying church, okay? He's calling us to be a praying church. So I really want to emphasize that. Come up here and lay hands on this table. I did take one of our prayer requests, miracle prayer request sheets, and just put a YouTube video prayer request and all of the people and put it on there. And that's on there as well, because we don't know their names, and we're not looking for their names, but they're posting prayer requests. And this is people that are coming from, it's coming from all over the world. It's coming from all over the world, where some of these prayer requests are coming from, and so people are hungry for God. People, they don't know how to find the Lord. They don't know how to find the Lord. You know, and that is our duty, right? Our calling in the Lord, and it starts with us in our own walk and our own life, and then it extends from there, and it is expressed in many ways. You know, according to the word of the Lord, that you're called to be a witness, right? You're called to be a witness. This is the mission that you have in your life, regardless of anything else that God's called you to do or God's called you to be. The one thing that God has called you to do and to be is to be a witness. To be a witness. You know, a witness is someone who has seen or heard, you know, or knows. You know, a car accident. Well, I was a witness. I saw the whole thing, whatever it would be. You know, so what you're speaking is you're telling people of what Jesus has done for you, right? What Jesus has done for you. And that's also why you need a living testimony. You need a living testimony. Praise God. Praise God when you got saved 25 years ago. Praise God for that. But that may be a part of your testimony, but that's not really your testimony of what is going on in your life today. You know, we need to have a living testimony, and to have a living testimony, we need to have a living relationship, right, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, that's what God's called us to do. But let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's be a praying church. You know, and we're going to, come up here and pray over this table. Lay hands on this table. Pray for these situations. And I believe that we're being tested by the Lord. You know, He gives us a little, and if we're faithful, with what the Lord gives us, then He'll give us more, right? He'll give us more. He's not going to give us an abundance and then we neglect it and then think that things are going to work out well, because they're not. And then that's the way it is individually in your relationship and in your walk with the Lord, all right? You show yourself as a good steward. You show yourself as a good steward. You show yourself as being faithful to the Lord. And as you walk in those things and you are being tested, you will be tested or tried or what the word God calls proven, right? I prove myself because I keep walking in the way of faithfulness before the Lord through the thick and to the thin. You know, you cannot be a fair-weathered friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, boy, when He's doing good things, then I'm with Him. You know, when He's not, then I'm belly aching and I'm complaining, right? You know, I'm just not as faithful, you know, because I've let discouragement. We all battle discouragement of one kind or another. Part of what I've got here for you today, you know, is a victory over that work of discouragement. You know, but we have to be aware that we would be tested. We would be tested, you know, and we have to step forward and be what the Lord's called us to be. All right, now you can file that away under Sermon 101, okay? Now we're going to go to Sermon 102, okay? All right, so I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the fourth part of what does it mean to go forward in Jesus. I think I'll probably, most likely, this will be the end of it right here, I do believe. The subjects I will continue to preach upon, as we go along, but this will be the fourth and final part of what does it mean to go forward in Jesus. The first thing that I want to say is that that's who we must be. We must be a people that are going forward in the Lord. You know, there's so many that they take a passive mentality and attitude in their faith. And then a lot of people think that that's reverence to God, but it's not. They think that's reverence to God. You know, for me to step forward and to be boisterous to be loud with the Lord, we might call it, or whatever it would be, you know, that's a lack of reverence. But the biblical examples that we have of those that receive miracles from God is the very opposite of that, isn't it, right? You know, Bartimaeus, you know, they tried to shut him up, didn't they? You know, and the more they tried to shut him up, you know, he was Jesus, son of David, Jesus, son of David, you know, blind man, and the crowd. There was such a crowd, such an incredible crowd. I mean, you can imagine just, you know, how the whole scene really was. And you know, they kept saying, shh, be quiet, you know, and the more that they did that, the louder he got. Right? The louder he got. You know, and it's not a matter of being loud, but it is a matter of being determined. It is a matter of putting forth a whole heart. Are you with me there? You know, some of that reverence and some of that that's looked upon as being reverence has not anything to do with reverence at all, and God's not impressed with any of it. You know, what God really wants is a people that really want Him. Cry out to God. You know, that term is used so much in the word of the Lord, you know, of crying out to God, you know, that you cry out. There's another scripture that talks about that he who loves little receives little, right? And, you know, and he who loves much receives much. You know, so there's another point for us of understanding. So we want to be that people. There's an intensity of desire that the Holy Spirit comes and will put on you, the believer. You know, where you begin to cry out to God. You know, that there is even a spirit of desperation. You know, you may be in situation and circumstances right now. You know, we think that the walking with the Lord is that God makes everything rosy and wonderful. Well, I'm afraid that's just not true. I have to break your bubble right there. You know, that's not true at all. God lets you to be tested. He lets you be tried. And He uses situations and He uses circumstances to where there's difficulties. There are difficulties. God just uses the things that go on in life so that we will turn to Him, you know, and we will turn to Him with our whole heart. It's not a matter of drawing near with our lips. What God is trying to do is to unravel and to loosen all the things that would bind your heart. Everything that would have your heart. You know, that's what he's trying to loose those things, those captivities, those bonds. Many of them we don't even know how to fully express, you know, so that we can be free and that we can walk with the Lord with a whole heart. And, you know, so the Lord is faithful and true, and he has given us magnificent promises. And this is called his covenant. I'm going to start again by reading this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is coming down here, and you know it well. You've probably been taught this all your Christian walk and life. In verse 20, it says, "For as many as may be the promises of God." And if you just bear with me a little, I'll say some of the things that I've been saying in each one of these teachings. And that is that he's talking about every promise. He's talking about all promise. It's inclusive, isn't it? That he says right here, for as many as may be the promises of God. And then he goes on, he says, in him, and that's in Jesus, they are yes. Everybody say yes. You know, they're yes. Now, there's one point that I want to make, and I'll come into it more as we go along. And that is, I want you to understand, do you understand that they have already been established? They've already been established. They've already been given. And every one of them, it's called the covenant of God. That's what we're talking about. This is the covenant of God. All the promises have been given to us in the covenant of God. There was a covenant that was made. And you know, Abraham, you know, gave Isaac, and Jesus was given by God the Father as a covenant promise. I referred to that last week. And Jesus came as a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. He is the fulfillment of what had been promised to Abraham. Because Abraham said, I will give you my only begotten son. And so God the Father gave his only begotten son, and he made him a sacrifice for our sins. Because he was a righteous man, and he had no sin in him that he could literally put away sin. And he could defeat completely the power of sin. Now, we know that the blood of goats and bulls and the rams could never do that. They could never take away sin so that we could find what's called forgiveness. Because that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness. And when we find forgiveness, he puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And then the word of the Lord says, which I think is just so glorious, that he remembers him no more. Right? He remembers them. Now, I want you to remember that. I hope you'll remember that, that when you repent before the Lord with all of your heart, you know, we find that we have promise in the word of the Lord in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's a covenant promise, you know, and it doesn't matter how you feel. You know, you've got to rise above, you know, being ruled by what you feel, right? You know, and that comes by the Holy Spirit as you press in. As you press in, you gain victory over feelings. You will. And that doesn't mean that you don't feel anything. You know, glory to God. You can feel the Holy Spirit, right? You know, you can feel the power of God. You can feel the glory of God. You can feel gladness and joy in the Holy Spirit, and I could go on and on. You can feel the presence of the Lord. It's not that we become unfeeling. And some churches teach that that's what victory is, you know, and that what faith really is that you have faith and no feelings, you know. Good Lord, who in the world wants that, you know? That's terrible. That's not true either. You know, faith is a revelation that is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Faith, it becomes an inner knowledge that is revealed by the Holy Spirit to you. Faith is a convicting power. And when I say convicting power, I don't mean that you're just being convicted of your sins. I'm talking about a conviction. You know, that's mighty powerful, because when people act under conviction, they do not care what their circumstances are telling them, right? And neither do they care about what their circumstances are telling them. They do not care what the consequences will be either, right? Boy, my goodness, you can't stop. And that's why you've had, you know, oppressive governments, you know, and dictators all around the world. One of the first things that they go after is the church. right? They go after the church, and they go after the Christian leaders, you know, because and they seek to do away with Christianity, or at least make it a state church, right? You know, where they can control everybody within the church, and they can control what goes on. Because I'll tell you, people with convictions can't be controlled by a government, right? You know, and that's why the enemy attacks the church so much. And if he can't attack the church, they don't want to attack certainly the power. And on the enemy, our enemy, the evil one, has always been after the power. He's always been after the power. You know, you all go ahead and meet in those four walls, and y'all just have you a gay old time all you want, you know. But if that starts, you know, leaking out of there, then some persecutions are coming your way. Some persecutions. That's what it comes with the miracle-working power of God. I believe that we're on the crest of seeing the miracle-working power of God in a lot of different ways. I believe that one of the things that's going to happen among us is that the Holy Spirit, independent of our actions, independent of what we're doing within ourselves, is going to have supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are going to be manifested among us, just like we had last Sunday. You know, supernatural manifestations that cannot be credited to any man, you know, or any work or any form or any fashion. It's just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and he's manifesting in our midst who Jesus is. Yeah. You know, and that's going to increase. That manifestation is going to increase. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to come some criticism because of it. Okay, you better get ready for it, right? You know, because the evil one doesn't like the power of God being manifested. He doesn't like the power of God being, you know, because that tells people that Jesus is alive, right? You know, and people are hungry for the reality of Jesus, you know. They're sick of church. Some people, you know, they get deceived with that, and they just love that, right? You know, and it becomes a form of self-righteousness within them, to be honest with you. You know, it gives them a false peace. They're religious. Their religion. They go do religious things. Makes them feel good about themselves. Make them feel good about themselves. You know, because there's some people that are smart enough to know, hey, there's a heaven and there's a hell, right? And I don't want to go to that hell place, you know. So, you know, they take on whatever that religiosity would be. But when you start having the manifestations of the power of God, you better get ready to be criticized. You better get ready for some persecutions to come your way. You better be ready for some misunderstandings, because that, whether it's individually in your own life or whether it's a church, you know, because the evil one, if I can put enough pressure against those people, you know, so they'll back away and, you know, and they won't walk in it, you know, what do you think the devil's going to do? He's going to bring the pressures, right? So that, you know, people in the community are talking about us, you know. Right? You know, oh, some of our church members are upset. Okay, well, good. You know, I'm going to say it, jump in or jump out. Right? Jump in or jump out. Because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're not going to stop. All right? We're just not going to stop. Right? You know, I don't want to play church. I'm sick of church. I'm sorry. You know, I don't need it. I don't need it. I got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I don't need it. I just don't need it, right? If you understand what I'm saying, I love the body of Christ, and I love our local assembly. I love our church. I love the spirit of our church. And so I don't want you to misunderstand me at all. But you understand what I'm meaning. I don't want to play that religious game. I don't want to play that religious game, you know? And, you know, sometimes you can be caught up in the religious game. You don't even really know what you're caught up into, you know? But we need the reality of Jesus. You know, I want him in my own heart, my own life, and I know that you want him in your heart and in your life. You know, so we need to be a go-forward people, right? You know, we go-forward people in the Lord, and as we walk and go forward in the Lord, you know, and we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're following. And these manifestations come by the power of God. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that's making the decision on what manifestations will flow. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing that, you know, and it's independent. It's independent of being, it's just him, you know, but we welcome it. I want to say that to the Lord, we welcome it, right? You know, we welcome it. But we are go-forward people. And we go forward because we reach forward. You know, so that passive spirit, you know, will get you nowhere. You know, that misguided, misdirected reverence will get you nowhere. You know, God wants a people that will lay down. I got to say this. You know, that they'll lay down. You got to lay your dignity in the dust. I'm just telling you right now, you got to lay your dignity. You know, the people in church, many times they want to hold on to their dignity, right? You know, let's just call it what it really is. It's called pride, all right? Let's just call it what it really is. I don't want to look foolish, right? You know, I don't want to look foolish or whatever it would be, you know, or emotional be criticized or whatever it would be right there, you know. And you know, years ago, we in a church with my brother and I, we had a few churches that had a great, wonderful outpouring of the Spirit, you know. And one of those churches, I mean, my goodness, you know, God's just been an explosion, you know. And when He brought forth that explosion, there was a lot of things that were happening. You just would not believe the things that were said about what was going on in church, what was going on in my life, you know, in my brother's life. You know, just flat out lies, right? You know, of things like this. So this is the work of the evil one. He always brings persecution. All those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. That's a scripture, right? So we're following the Lord, we're following the Holy Spirit here, you know, and we're going to be a go-forward people. And the way that we walk with the Lord is in the covenant promises of Almighty God, the covenant promises of Almighty God. You know, I just want to say something here. I'm going to read this scripture that you understand that when we take communion, what we're doing is that we're recognizing the covenant. That's what we're doing. We're recognizing the covenant. You know, like, for example, I'm not going to read the whole thing, you know, but it says right here about concerning the bread, the body of Jesus. You do this in remembrance of me. And then when it says the cup, it goes on and it says the new covenant in my blood. So we know that what took place on the cross, we know that all of that was a making of a new covenant. It was the making of a new covenant. And Jesus is the high priest. He's the high priest, right, of the new covenant. And then it goes on again. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, first of all, that word covenant right here, and do this in remembrance of me, and what happened there at that time. If you'll notice the scripture, it says that after supper, right, you know, the Lord took the cup. And what they were celebrating was the Passover, okay? They'd already had supper. Okay, they'd already had supper. Now what they were doing is they were celebrating the Passover. That's what they were doing. And then this is where Jesus declared, he declared that this new covenant was being made through the offering of himself on our behalf. And this is what we have received. We have received this. You know, and the way that we've received this is that the covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. You and I are heirs of the covenant. Remember, one of the things that I read to you about covenant is that a covenant is extended to the heirs from the ones that had originally made it. You know, that covenant has been extended to us. It was made between God the Father and God the Son. And because Jesus was made unto our likeness, that the Word of God says that He laid down His glory. It's an amazing thing. And Jesus laid down His glory, and He came as the first new man of the Spirit. You know, that's why the Word of the Lord calls Jesus the last Adam. It doesn't call Him the second Adam. I hate when preachers do that. I don't understand them. Anyway, but He's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam. And that, the name Adam means federal head. Or first, right? And so we have Adam of the Garden of Eden, and all of those that were made after His likeness, born in this flesh, received of a sin nature as he had fell in the garden. Now, and then Jesus came. He came and he did not have the seed of Adam, right? You know, he was born of a virgin, right? Conceived of the Holy Spirit, right? But yet he was clothed with all flesh and blood because Mary bore him, right? Birth of a virgin. You know, so here's Jesus. He's a new man. He's a different man. And, you know, he's a man in the flesh. He was a man in the flesh, right? But he was not of the flesh. And he was born without the sin nature of Adam. He was the new representative of a new federal head of the people that would be born of the Spirit and would be in the righteousness of God, made in his likeness. That's what we have received in Jesus. That's who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and in that, we have received the promise, the covenant that was made between God the Father and God the Son. That's why God's faithful to you when you don't deserve it. You know, I get over yourself. Get over how good you're doing or how bad you're doing, right? All right? Now, I'm not saying that you won't put any effort because a heart for gives you effort, right? If you have a heart for God, then that gives you effort. But you know, you're not being influenced on how good you did that week or how poorly you did that week. You know, we turn and we look to Jesus because it's his righteousness and his righteousness alone that my faith is built upon. I want you to hear that, you know, that's on his righteousness. Well, you know, the evil one, you come and you start, you see, the resistance comes to those that are trying to go forward. I wrote a little note right here. Anybody in here dealing with any kind of discouragement in any form or in any fashion? I wrote myself a little note. The Spirit of the Lord gave it to me. It's those who battle are those who are seeking to receive from God. Those that are in a battle are the ones that are trying to seek to receive something from God. And so discouragements and resistance come, and you feel like maybe you're failing, or you feel like you shouldn't be discouraged, or you feel like that you know, somehow you're doing something wrong. It's because what's going on is you're trying to step forward. Those that are not trying to step forward do not find any resistance. I hope that you're encouraged by that in the Lord. I had another word from the Lord, and as we were sitting right over here in the worship service, you know, and it was for those that are struggling. If you're here struggling in any form or fashion, you know what is happening is that the Lord is proving you. He is proving you, and he's preparing you for advancement in the kingdom of God. You know, that is what's going on. He's letting you experience things. You say, well, how can that be of God? I don't understand everything. I just know that he lets you go through things. He doesn't deliver you. You're not walking in the Spirit and always delivered from everything. That's not how it works. He allows you to go through things. I can't tell you why. But I know this much, that he's not wanting you to be filled with why, Lord. No, lay it down. If you want to ask him, ask him. If he gives you an answer, then glory to God, you got your answer. If he doesn't answer anything, trust him. And put it in the hands of the Lord. You know, this is one of the great works of the Holy Spirit for covenant people, to be able to walk and the righteousness of God and receive these promises that are made in the covenant. You know, you'll find a wonderful, wonderful picture. It's an incredible, and I may bring it out at another point, but like, for example, in Numbers chapter 10, you know, when they struck out and they were going to follow, and the Lord had given Moses a promise. And that promise that Moses had given is, I'm going to bring you into a land filled with milk and honey. You know, that was it right there. You know, I hope you get the picture for you and I about how we keep our eyes on Jesus as we're believing the Lord in the midst of these promises. You know, because, you know, that was the word of the Lord that had been given to Moses. And so they struck out. Well, some of them thought that that should and ought to come immediately, right? You know, but it didn't happen that way. And you know what they had to do? You know what the way of the Lord was for them? Was to be led by, and Beatrice spoke of it a minute ago, is to be led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. Do you know what would happen? What was happening there? Do you know there were times that the cloud would settle at a spot, and they would no more than get a big group of people. They would no more get everything unpacked and set up and get the tent set, and then the cloud moved. And the cloud moved, right? You know. Do you see the picture? And there would be times. Did you know there were times that the fire by night would settle where it would settle, and they would spend many months right there, many months. So do you hear that? Do you see that? Do you see about getting tested on both sides, right? Do you see that? Do you think you don't get tested on both sides of that coin right there? Right? You know? And number one is that, you know, God's got you move. Well, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make any sense. God's trying to get you out of that where it has to make sense before you'll do it. Do you understand that they had one duty, and that duty was being tested before them? And that was that they were going to believe God. They were going to believe the promise that God had given them, that he was going to give them and establish them in a land that was filled with milk and honey. That was their duty before the Lord. And then to be obedient after that, to be obedient. And so here they were. You know, oh my goodness, we just got everything unpacked, you know. I just got my favorite chair up and everything, you know. The wife over there just lit the fire. Oh, look, and the cloud's moving. Maybe you get the cloud moving on you a little bit. And maybe it rises up your little bit being frustrated or whatever it would be, you know. But you understand you're being tested. You're being tested to get that out. To get that out, to get everything out so that your eyes are on one thing and one thing alone, and that is the promise of God, the goodness of God, and the integrity of the holy, righteous blood of Jesus behind the promise of God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And then the other side of the coin, you know, they would set up. Oh, the last time we were there for, less than 24 hours, and we're on the move again. You know, now here we are, we're sitting out here, and we've been set up. Look how long we've been waiting. When are we going to get on with it? Right? I'm so tired of waiting, right? You know, sit around here. What in the world is God doing? What's he waiting for? Right? You know. So, you know, I just want you to understand that you and I are not that far removed from the cloud and the fire by night, okay? Going through the midst of the wilderness, getting to the fulfillment of the promise. And for you and I, all of the promises are yes and they're amen in Jesus. And not only are they yes and the amen in Jesus, but they, the promises, the new covenant, this is the land of milk and honey for you and I in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can look at all of that and we can testify of it. And we know that we are walking down in the same pathway, only in a different way as they walked. That's why these words are so relevant to you and I in the word of the Lord. And, you know, and then the next thing that happened, you know, is that you had, I've talked about it. I'll talk about it more because it's such a serious thing. And it is grumbling and complaining. And those that grumbled and complained did not enter in. We just need to know it. We just need to know it. You know, they complained against Moses, right? You know, and that's the first place when people are disgruntled. That's the first place they go, is they attack leadership. That's what they do, right? They attack leadership. Yeah. And then said, so Moses and Aaron. Oh my goodness, they thought they were going to be stoned, right? You know. And oh my goodness, what an indictment against God! Now you've brought us out here. Oh, how wonderful it was back in Egypt, right? You know, oh, how wonderful it was. Oh, if we could just eat the things that we were eating. We're so doggone tired of this manna. Can you imagine? And they were belly achers and complainers because they were not committed wholeheartedly to the way of the Lord. They wanted things their way. They wanted the blessings of God, but they wanted the blessings of the Lord on their terms. That's what they wanted it. And so you can't follow the Lord not knowing what's happening. You can't follow the Lord knowing, where are we going? Where are we going? What in the world's happening? Where is the Lord? I don't understand these things. I don't understand these things. What's God waiting on? What in the world? All that. And when what's pushing a person's buttons is they're not following the Lord fully with their whole heart. Now, we can all run into belly aching, complaining from time to time. But hopefully as we grow in Jesus, we grow out of that, right? We grow out of that. You know, and so, you know, that's the way that the Lord is leading us. Those are some wonderful, wonderful pictures. They didn't have to know how God was going to do it. He wanted them more than he wanted just to bring a blessing, right? He wanted them. He wanted a people for his own possession. And that's what he wants from you. He wants to show you his goodness. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to show you the abundance of his grace. He wants to have fellowship with you above all else. Above all else. You know, this is why that so many of the messages of the past, you know, what the evil one does is that, you know, he caused corruption to come into certain wonderful truths. And when corruption comes, then what happens is that people who really want the Lord, what they do is they become, when they hear those words or they hear such doctrines or whatever it would be, they run the other way. They run the other way because they're fearful, right? And then, the truth is thrown out with the deception and the error. Covenant is one of them. You know, there was years ago, and I got to speak these things. You know, that becomes a catchword for people because there was what's called the covenant movement. I won't get into all of its history, but, you know, there was a covenant movement. It got off base. It got off base. It got to the place to where, you know, leadership in a church made all the decisions for you. You know, if you were in submission to leadership, then you came, you know, and you asked leadership, you know, on your private life, right? On your private life, what you could do, what you couldn't do. You know, I'm thinking about buying a new car. You know, you present it before the leadership and you ask them, what wisdom do you give? And then if they said, well, I don't think you should buy a new car, and then you didn't buy a new car. Right? Yeah. Your choices are yours. I don't want to be involved, if I may say, in your choices, right? You know, now that doesn't mean there's not accountability in the church over what's right and what's wrong, you know. But hey, if you want to spend yourself in the debt, you feel free, okay? That's between you and God. If you come and ask me what I think, I'll tell you what I think, all right? But, you know, that's the end of it right there. Your choices are yours. You're responsible. You are responsible as I am responsible for my life and my choices before God, okay? You know? And so there you are. That's the way it works. And so that got off base. And so if anytime anybody heard the word covenant, you know, they ran with fear. They ran with fear. But I want you to know and I want you to understand what you have entered into in the Lord Jesus Christ is a new covenant. Your salvation comes on the basis of a covenant. I want you to understand it. Being saved is on the basis of a covenant. Now, I'll get into it later, but another one is when you start talking about faith. You know, we got it where, you know, there again, there's such corruption that entered in. And the evil one plans these things so that the godly people of the Lord will run the other way. So when you talk about, you use familiar scriptures that have to do with faith, you know, all scriptures about faith are for you and for me. I don't care who has abused them, right? You know, but when she talk about faith, talk about receiving promises on the basis of faith, then immediately people run into that's the faith and prosperity people. All the people that talk about receiving on faith, well, that's the faith and prosperity people. Well, I'm a faith person and I'm a prosperity person, not of their definition, but of a biblical definition. You know, and we don't want to be afraid of either word. I was preaching in South Africa at a convention that was there for workers at the Posmore Prison. Mandela was kept there, and I was preaching on the covenant of faith. That was my subject. I was preaching on the covenant of faith, and I had a whole group of them. I had a whole group of these missionaries. They couldn't hear one word I said. Oh, we've heard all this before. We've heard. I said, no, you haven't. All right. You know, we've heard all this before. You know, I just kept. Oh, no, you haven't. You know, because I'm not talking about that spirit of ambition. I'm not talking about that spirit of gain. I'm not talking about only about receiving money, you know, or whatever you want to call it. But you cannot walk with God without faith. You have entered into a covenant of faith. And there's another point here, and I want to make with that. And it also, the blessing of prosperity belongs to you. The blessing of prosperity belongs to you. I'm going to read you a scripture along with that. You know, and I'm not afraid of these subjects. I hope that you're not afraid of these subjects, you know, because, you know, we're not going to shy away from the truth, Prosperity, and you'll hear me say it every time I talk about prosperity, because the other way is so ingrained, and that is that prosperity is more than a dollar. Prosperity is more than a dollar. I want the prosperity of the Lord, the true prosperity of the Lord, more than I want a dollar. You know, but I'm going to also say to you that if you have financial need, that it also includes that God will prosper you financially. It's just that's not the only point to prosperity. The greatest blessing of prosperity is the abundance of Him. I'm telling you right now, that is the great blessing of prosperity, is the abundance of Him. Oh, I've already received Jesus. Well, I don't guess you're going to go any farther, right? You know, because that type of mentality without hunger and thirst and a desire to go forward stops you dead in your tracks. And the Jesus that you received, that you come to know 25 years ago, is the only Jesus that you know now. And things ought not be that way. You ought to have a greater depth. And I'm not talking about that you quote more books of the Bible. I'm talking about have a deeper knowledge, a deeper revelation, a deeper fellowship with a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prosperity of the Lord. To where God begins to raise you, and He raises you above. And when I say He raises you above, that He can freely bless you, I'm telling you right now, there is an abundance of blessings that the Lord wants to bring into your life that you haven't even seen or haven't even dared to even think about, of how the depth that He wants to bring blessings into your life. You know, but He proves us to be faithful servants. Now, I'll read this scripture and the prosperity, and you know it, but listen, this is the truth of the word in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, and this is just, I'm reading scripture, though He was rich, yet for your sake, He became poor. And then it goes on and says that you, through His poverty, might become rich. And I know, and that's the very word that is used there, pluteo. That's a pluteo. That is for the word rich. Here's the definition: to be rich, abounding in riches, or wealthy. To be rich, and we're talking about God's kingdom. We're talking about the righteousness. The foundation of all true prosperity is the righteousness of God. And the true advancement of prosperity is the advancement of that righteousness being realized and experienced, held, and known by you personally, right? Not just reading about righteousness, but righteousness coming into you. Righteousness filtering through your heart and filtering through your mind. You know, and it gives you the heart of Jesus, gives you the mind of Jesus, and then the one thing that begins to dominate over your whole being is the love of Jesus. And you know, you're not living this life of up and down, and moved by fear and by difficulty and stress and strain and other incidents and circumstances and situations, that you're able to be kept by the power of God. And you got the peace of God that rules and reigns over your life. I don't care how bad the circumstances might get to be. I don't care what somebody else does. And then what happens is that you get ruled over in your heart, mind, and spirit by that righteousness and by the abundance of the love of God. How more prosperous can you get? Right? How, this is the prosperity of the Lord. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, because the Spirit of the Lord wants me to do this, you know, that right now, in the name of Jesus, I release up in this place the blessing of the prosperity of God in Jesus' name. That blessings are coming your way. Blessings be released in abundance. There are open doors. There are open doors to come your way that only the Spirit of God can open. Let every open door, every prosperous door that the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring upon the people of God, let come now in the name of Jesus. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. And receive it in the name of Jesus. Opportunity be released in the name of Jesus. Opportunity is being released in the name of Jesus. That opportunities that will come your way that are by the making of the Lord, you be watching for them. You be watching for them. You anticipate them. Opportunity arise in Jesus' name. Let the goodness of the Lord come. Oh, Father God, I thank you right now for you releasing your goodness upon the people of God here right now. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. And I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it just because I got it no other way. Let a spirit of poverty be released in this place, that it be no more upon the people of God. Let a spirit of poverty be released right now, in the name of Jesus. I want to address every oppressive spirit that keeps people in a state of poverty, whether that be in body, whether that be in soul and spirit, and whatever it would be, heart and mind. Let that poverty spirit be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that poverty spirit be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the prosperity of the Lord come in spirit right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Let the prosperity of heart come in Jesus' name. In mind, in body, in the name of Jesus. I declare this blessing over the people of God. Finances, be released in the name of Jesus. Financial blessings, be released in the name of Jesus. Let financial blessings be released upon us, O Lord God. Lord, in our fellowship, in our church, and let the financial blessings be released in the name of Jesus. I just want to pray right now for everyone that against their, but with their finances in Jesus' name. Let increase come. Let increase come. Let the blessings come in Jesus' name. And the one thing that I want to deal with is a poverty spirit, and that is in negativity. Right now, Father, I want to thank you for the touch of the Lord, that there are those that are experiencing a poverty spirit that is within them. And that in the name of Jesus, let this poverty spirit be broken. Negativity within their own heart, within their own mind, in the name of Jesus. I pray for the healing hand of the Lord right now. A defeated spirit, be released from a defeated spirit, and let a wellness come and fullness come in Jesus' name. A sense of defeat, a sense of failure, in Jesus' name. I right now take authority over that, and I thank you for being released from that. And I just want a self-destructive spirit. A self-destructive spirit goes along with this negative spirit. You know, a deep down-rooted self-hatred spirit. You know, right now, let the healing hand of the Lord come forth in the mighty name of Jesus, and let that poverty spirit that has ministered so long, such a deep root of negativity that speaks to the individual's heart. Let that be broken now in the name of Jesus. Let the prosperity of the Lord come in Jesus' name. And I'm going to lift up an unhappy spirit It's a work of the evil one. It doesn't matter if your circumstances change. It doesn't matter if you get a new car. It doesn't matter if you get a new home. It doesn't matter if you're abundantly blessed in a lot of different ways, and it's a bewilderment to your own heart that there's something that's hanging over you, and it's just a spirit of unhappiness. There's an unhappiness there, and it doesn't matter what happens, you still have deep down, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why aren't I more happy? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? In the name of Jesus, let that unhappy spirit and the ministry of it be broken in the name of Jesus. You will no longer rob and hinder the saint of God with having happiness and being happy. Having happiness. Let happiness flow in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Let the miracle working power of God go forth upon the saint of Almighty God. And I just want to thank you for that right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, a gloomy heart. It's like having a cloud over your spirit. And I command that gloom to be removed from the heart and from the mind. I command it to be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. It's been there ever since you've been little. You grew up with it, and you're not going to have it anymore in the name of Jesus. A gloomy spirit, a gloomy heart, and that gloom is gone. I can declare it in the name of Jesus. Let a spirit of sunshine come in Jesus' name right now. Let a spirit of sunshine come in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just want to lift up right now, Lord God, overwhelming regret. Overwhelming regret to where it rules so much in your thinking. And right now, let the healing hand of the Lord come. Let the healing hand of the Lord come, Father God. Oh, Lord, that Father God, that Lord, the hurt and the pain of regret, the hurt and the pain of regret, that Father God, that it be removed, and that the healing hand of the Lord, the unexplainable healing hand of the Lord right now over all regret. And I just want to thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that regret be put in its proper place, that we live for today in Jesus, that we live by going forward in Jesus. We're not living in the past. We're not going to live in the past, and we're not going to live in regret. And, you know, that bondage is being broken right now in Jesus' name. And then the final thing that I want to bring here right now, and I spoke of it in just a minute ago, and I want you to open up your heart as I pray this, and that is that the love of God would fill your heart, you know. And I know somebody will say, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I know the love of God. I know the love of God. No, this is the Spirit spoke to me, is the love of God fill your heart right now in the current circumstance and situation that you find yourself in. That's what I'm talking about right now. It's the now moving and work of the love of God, okay? All right? You're going to open up your heart, right? You're going to receive it. You're going to receive it. You're going to believe it. You're going to believe on it, right? Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I want to thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit filling the heart of everyone here right now with your holy love. Let it be released now upon the beloved of the Lord.